Address by the beloved Ascended Master Lord Ling. Introduction. Our love and gratitude extends to Lord Ling, the God of Happiness. All the gentle readers who choose to accept his qualified momentum of joy and happiness will feel that same buoyancy and happiness which is his gift to life. The world today, with all its restless peoples, requires joy and happiness so much. Accept the opportunity of being a radiating center from whence that happiness flows into the emotional, mental, etheric, and physical strata in which mankind abide. God Ling, who in one embodiment was Ananda, the disciple of Lord Gautama, and in another embodiment was the famous Moses, deliverer of the Jewish race from bondage, had many experiences wherein he learned that service without love is not enough. Based upon his own experiences, he has dedicated his life to helping all those who desire to serve life in a happy, joyous, buoyant consciousness. We are extremely grateful for his presence, and we know you too will enjoy his radiation and uplifting power as you tune into this presence of happiness. Thomas Prince, Editor. The God Virtue of Happiness, addressed by the Ascended Master, Lord Ling. Beloved friends of light, you who have sought happiness for many ages, you who, especially in this Western world, have even been assured the right to pursue happiness through your laws, today I have become the pursuer, and you are now the pursued. I shall endeavor to draw into the activity of the atmosphere of earth the buoyancy and the vibrant joy and happiness which is in the Ascended Master's octave. I shall use your inner bodies and your physical vehicles to direct the pressure and the power of happiness, first to the student body, then into mankind at large, into imprisoned life everywhere, and into every focus where shadows still remain, bringing the vibratory action of the inner and outer vehicles into harmony with their own Christ selves. Beloved ones, happiness is a most positive quality. It is a vibratory action which must be sought out and practiced by the outer self. When that outer self has sunk below the natural vibration of the Holy Christ consciousness, happiness does not just happen. Happiness must be cultivated through the control of the thought processes, through the control of the feeling world, through the control of the process of memory, and through the control of the physical vehicle as well. It is time now for all people and for the student body as a whole to come into the vibratory action, which alone can bring world and universal peace. It is time now to accept within the cells of your inner vehicles that vibration which it is my privilege and honor to bring. I represent the guardian power of all the happiness that has been drawn forth and radiated upon this earth, as well as in the Ascended Master octave and in the angelic kingdom. Every being, ascended and otherwise, who radiates the power and pressure of happiness adds to the sum total of that fully gathered cosmic momentum, which it is my responsibility to direct back into the soul of this world, as well as into the individual souls of men. Will you not help me now as I speak with you by trying to tune up your mental bodies to the receptivity of the idea that serving God and your fellow man can be a joyous experience, a way and means by which you may balance your own karmic debt to the universe, as well as lighten the load of your fellow man? Will you not cooperate by opening your feeling world to the acceptance of a buoyancy and a joy within the feelings, so that I may use you as a conductor to carry my radiation forth into the inner bodies of the race? Will you not let go in your etheric bodies of the memories of past failures, disillusionments, and depressions? We have come, various members of our brotherhood, time after time, in an endeavor to persuade you to let go of the accumulation of the ages which you have drawn around yourselves, yet you hold so tightly in mind, in feeling, and in memory to those very vibrations which keep you in unnecessary limitation. Open yourselves, beloved ones, to that pressure of happiness that we bring, and just like little children, let go of that wall of resistance which is between you and ourselves. What do you expect, dear ones, when you come into our presence? How much do you honestly expect within your hearts that you are going to receive? How deeply have you plumbed the recesses of your outer consciousnesses for the realization that the flame of the Master's presence is a pressure of energy which can and will requalify the vibratory action of your vehicles permanently if you choose to accept it? Because you do not enter the marble gates of the temples of the East, because you do not stand in your physical bodies in the magnificent splendor of Darjeeling, the outer self takes a rather lethargic view of the communion between God and man. In this lethargy, the shell around the outer personality is such that very little of that which might be given can penetrate through the free will barrier. Yet that human resistance is not a conscious activity. It is more an unconscious acceptance of things as they seem, an unconscious acceptance of memory, wherein you think promises were not fulfilled, but which are chiefly due to human resistance, so that the soul has become bogged down with the acceptance of the fact that life, for the most part, will proceed on an even tenure, progressing with no great rapidity to freedom. Now let us change all this. You are in the position of leading men and women from darkness and bondage into a promised land of freedom and light. I know that position well. I have gone through the experiences. They are written into my heart. By reason of those experiences during my incarnation as Moses, I forfeited my own ascension at that time. I let a sense of rebellion, a sense of worry, a sense of over-responsibility to my charges through those 40 long years as we journeyed in the wilderness overcome the natural buoyancy of happiness in my association with God and the angelic messengers who walked before us as a pillar of fire by night and the pillar of white mist by day. At the close of that long and arduous mission, my exodus from Egypt, though my eyes could see the glory of the land toward which I had led the reluctant feet of my followers, toward which I had prodded them, pushed them, and persuaded them for long, long years, I did not enter then into that land. I have asked that by bringing the remembrance of my own experience to you, that I might help you to avoid the necessity of postponing your eternal freedom by completing in happiness that which you may wish to do for duty's sake. In those ages of which I speak, almost all of you were present. Some of you were among the bands of Israel. Some of you were among the household of the Pharaoh. Some of you were Egyptians of title, and some of you slavery status. I was raised, you remember, in that embodiment, in comparative peace and luxury, as an adopted son of Pharaoh's household. Then there came a restless stirring within my heart, as the feeling of a mission caused me to renounce the idle life which I lived in the Pharaoh's court. During the time that I retired to the desert, I had the great experience of having the mist of Maya taken from my eyes, and I was enabled to see for a moment within that flaming pillar of light one of the great angels of Lord Michael's legions. From the lips of that angel did I hear those words of God which were to send me back to bring a reluctant people upon a dangerous journey. with very little proof except the faith in the reality of my own experience to go upon. I was at that time a timid man. I had, as you may have been told, a certain impediment of speech, and was neither eloquent of tongue nor by nature and soul designed to be a leader of men. I did beg of the great Lord of hosts and the great, mighty, infinite source that someone else in my place should be given such a mission to accomplish. Those of you who are familiar with the text of your Bible know that, although the mission was accomplished through my life stream, through the mercy of the law, my brother Aaron became my mouthpiece, and through his strong words, the message of the Most High was conveyed in a positive consciousness to the people of that era. Beloved ones, we were individuals like yourselves, individuals who had perceived a portion of the divine plan as the folds of Maya parted. We were individuals who worked with our own karma yet unconsumed. With a vast host of untrained and discontented life streams, we set forth upon a great and hazardous journey, and it was not long before the pangs of hunger, the heat of the sun, the discomfort of walking through the desert sands began to pall upon the outer bodies of the people, and the personal desires of those whom I had brought from the comparative safety of their chains made them wish to turn back. Again and again, through the assistance of the cosmic law, miracles and marvels were performed to bolster their faith. They were fed with the manna. They were given fresh water. Yet no sooner was my consciousness directed upward for that contact with the Godhead, which was essential to prepare those who would follow after me. No sooner had my consciousness raised up, no sooner had I entered in communion with the Lord, then back they went into those practices and vibratory actions which they had accumulated through the centuries. As the years passed, and as I endeavored to keep that contact with the Lord of hosts and endeavored to write upon the records of the day those commandments and those fiats which were to be the foundation for the Jewish dispensation and that 2,000-year cycle, as I endeavored to do that and keep these undisciplined people from returning again, only to be swallowed up into the imperfection of the past, I lost my sense of patience, my sense of buoyancy and happiness, and I became as an individual who had lost the true way. I was told later by our angelic guardians that the journey which took us 40 years to accomplish could have been completed in 7 years or less if we had not had the doubts, the fears, the grumblings, and all of that vibration which represented the condition of the inner and outer vehicles of undisciplined men to handle, and which was too much to sublimate in a short period of time without the conscious use of the sacred fire of purification. So, beloved ones, after that embodiment, when Joshua walked before the individuals who had accomplished the journey into the promised land, I had to re-embody and learn to live in love and grace in order to complete my pattern and to fulfill God's will in mastery. Many of you know that I was privileged to enjoy the radiation of the beloved Buddha as his friend and disciple Ananda, whose great power of magnetizing grace and radiating essence raised all around him into a like state of bliss. In that association with Lord Buddha, in that close communion with his heart and soul and spirit, I was enabled to finish the course of my life upon this earth plane. It was at that time that I took upon my shoulders the full responsibility of the Chohanship of the fifth ray, holding it through my consciousness until the beloved apostle of Jesus, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, took it over. It is always my great honor and privilege, whenever given opportunity, to direct the founders and students of religious orders of every kind, the feeling of that happy, joyous energy, which is essential for their salvation. Even though the mission may be accomplished, even though the work may be well done, if those cores of unhappiness within one's own vehicles are not transmuted and raised, somewhere, someday, sometime, at inner levels or on earth, one must learn the law of grace, happiness, love, and joy in service. In the name of the Most High Living God who called me, and before whose throne I have knelt, in the name of that Most High Living God who has served mankind through their beating hearts, I do now invoke from Alpha and Omega, and from every son of the system, from every archangel and archai, from every Elohim, cherubim, seraphim, and ascended master, the fully gathered cosmic momentum of God happiness into the mental, emotional, etheric, and physical bodies of everyone within this room and all under this radiation. In the name of the presence of God, I charge that fully gathered cosmic momentum of God happiness into your emotional bodies. Accept it. I charge the fully gathered cosmic momentum of God happiness into your mental bodies. Accept it. I charge the fully gathered cosmic momentum of God happiness into your etheric bodies. Accept it. I charge the fully gathered cosmic momentum of God happiness into your physical bodies. Accept it with full power. Let us just relax for a moment, because I want you to feel that acceptance within yourselves. Let me explain to you, beloved ones, that you are the heart of the teaching of the New Age. From your hearts flow those lines of energy into the mental, feeling, and etheric worlds of every student and every human being on this planet. So the feeling nature of any one of you is a contributing factor to the feelings of the entire body. It is therefore the request of the cosmic law that we can lower through you some of this God happiness and let it flow out, that the student body and mankind of earth may awaken from the sleep of the senses and desire to serve their kind in happiness rather than through a sense of duty. Feel yourselves magnetizing that happiness, the infinite mighty pressure and power of light, and then feel yourselves directing it into the world everywhere. There is as much difference between happiness and giddiness as there is between light and darkness. Happiness is a very positive quality, but its possession demands the absolute control of the energy which flows through the life stream. In the expression of the opposite extreme, which borders on hysteria, the individual has no control, and the consciousness knows not exactly what it will do from moment to moment. Mankind, experimenting with the development of happiness, so often come rather into that state of giddiness, let us call it, for lack of a better name. Now that is a dangerous state of consciousness, and one against which I wish to warn you as you experiment with the drawing out of a joyous feeling from within yourself. You can recognize the vibratory action of anyone who is in a masterful control of his energy by the buoyant radiation of perfect happiness, which is always poised, always in control of the words and actions which can create fun, joy, and happiness for others at no one's expense. Then you have the uncontrolled activity of showing off, shall we say, which causes energy to vibrate, but the consciousness has no poise, and very often the result is a barbed word the unkind gesture and mimicry result. This is an inversion of our divine activity of happiness. In this room, there are none who are so undeveloped as to draw that flame of happiness through them and find themselves becoming hysterical. However, in your dealings with the mass of mankind, when you wish to radiate happiness, be very careful as you expand it into an individual or group, because it has an activity within it that will often stir up the uncontrolled emotions and thought patterns of the undeveloped. So be very careful with your invocation of that flame of happiness until you learn first how to draw it in, through, and around yourselves in perfect and almighty poise. Now you're going to have an assignment, a definite and specific assignment. If you were within any of our retreats, you would be given an assignment per day, and you would perhaps be given one by which you would have to produce a specific effect. If you were not able to complete the assignment within the time allotted for the task, you would perhaps be dropped from the retreat and would be obliged to return to the world. Of course, I do not mean that your assignment would always be the creation of happiness. You have had one assignment for 18 or 20 years to use that violet fire until the shadows no longer remained around you. Yet, at the end of this period, that assignment still remains unfulfilled. You are trying, true, but perhaps too hard. Now I am going to give you an assignment which I ask you to work upon for a week, 7 full days. I am going to ask you to control your 4 lower bodies and see if you can keep them in a vibration of undisturbed happiness. That does not sound like such a large assignment, does it? Now, how are you going to keep happy? It will be a wonderful project for you, thinking about it alone, because if you can keep yourself happy for a week, when the masses come to you for the exodus from their chains, you will have built a momentum. If I could have kept those people happy after I got them out of the confines of Egypt, I could have taken them in 7 years or less into the promised land. If I could have kept myself happy, I perhaps then could have kept them happy. Do you see? Thus, you may reap where I have sown, and while I wept bitter, salty tears at seeing those who had worked under me go past me into glory and into the fulfillment, may you stand with smiling faces and move with your phalanx into victory. Now, keeping happy, beloved ones, is not a foolish idea. It is a discipline which is going to call to your attention the tremendous laxity with which your consciousness has dealt with your lower bodies and the tremendous tenacity that those lower bodies have to act independently of your self-conscious direction. Wait and see. Tomorrow morning, you will think of me even more powerfully than you are thinking of me today. If you can keep your mind free of one thought that is worrisome, critical, doubting, or distressing, you will have done a lot. If you can do that for 5 minutes, and then if you can do it for 7 days, you can do it forever. Now watch your mental processes when you awaken. It may not be too difficult until you contact your first human being. Then watch out. Watch the reaction of your mental body, and you may see a cause for unhappiness because that discordant thought emits vibration and color and adds to the shroud which weighs down your energies. Then watch your own feelings. Watch your feelings under pressure, and you will see what your feeling world still has within it when it is crossed. If you can keep your feelings happy, whether you have your way or not, for 5 minutes under pressure, you can do it longer. And if you can do it for 7 days, you will never go back to a state of allowing your feelings to become turbulent because of any appearance. If you can keep the mind from turning backward to the etheric memories of injustice, this is something that the student body do not indulge in because you are so busy. But individuals that have a great deal of spare time and allow the mind to turn back and dwell upon past events add so much to the unhappiness of today through the memories of the past. In, through, and around mental institutions and old people's homes, you would be amazed to see the effluvia woven out of the etheric bodies as individuals who have nothing to do but sit from dawn to dark, just relive every unkind word and feeling, thought and action, and radiate them forth into the atmosphere. If it were not for the divas who envelop those places in their light, beloved people, the individuals within them would actually physically smother themselves by that radiation. It was the same, but to a much greater extent, in and around the compound, where the people relived again and again and again the terrific crimes that they committed against the cosmic law and life and light, and rebuild that radiation of darkness and of shadow. In the ascended state, it was my desire to reach through to mankind and show them something of the experiences that the soul goes through after passing out of the body when they are earthbound, when they are committed to the compound, when they become sleepers. You will remember that in the 13th century, through the kind offices of the Italian poet Dante, I was enabled to free that soul sufficiently so that he could bring back some experiences and write them on the book of life for man to see. Mankind, however, took them just as a beautiful piece of literature, and few realized that it was my endeavor to waken the souls of men while their bodies were still usable, so that they could prevent similar conditions from taking place in their lives. Now, beloved ones, in this activity, if you will with me draw the power of happiness into mankind's experience, we shall endeavor to anchor that current of radiation into the mental and feeling worlds of the student body, which it must have if it is to survive. Physically, too, you may have conditions which require certain control so that you do not feel depressed by them. Once in every 24 hours, I shall come, with your permission, into your auras individually and look upon your accomplishment along this line of that period. We shall see what 7 days will bring. Expect me daily, and I hope that my coming will give you no sense of strain, no sense of self-depreciation, nor of condemnation if you don't have a perfect record. I hope that you will not brush aside my offer, because it is an important one for you in the service which you are yet to render. Thank you for your kind and willing cooperation in helping me to spread happiness to all. Lord Ling.